This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour. The coronavirus has killed 200,000 and infected 6.5 million people in the U.S. But amid those statistics, there are the 2.5 million Americans who have recovered from the disease.
We're survivors. I thank God for it. And that's all I can say.
We hear from three of those survivors about what it was like to have COVID-19, why getting better is an ongoing process, and why it affects people so differently.
Your personal experience is so vastly different than mine, than to yours, than to anyone else's.
Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted, wherever you listen to podcasts.
The presidential candidates were back out on the campaign trail today, just hours after their primetime town halls. They set their sights on battleground states, aiming to drum up more support in the final weeks of the race. Lisa Desjardins begins our coverage.
18 days until the election, and the presidential candidates are both on the road in pivotal swing states today. President Trump in Florida.
I will protect you, I will defend you, and I will fight for you with every ounce of energy and conviction that I have.
And former Vice President Biden in Michigan.
He doesn't have any plan. I'm going to build a resilient infrastructure, creating good-paying jobs, building roads and bridges.
This after a night originally scheduled for a face-to-face debate. Instead, Americans saw competing TV town halls. Mr. Trump got an hour of prime time at his event in Miami, hosted by NBC News. He had refused to debate Biden in a virtual format following his COVID-19 diagnosis. But it's unclear just how much better this was for him. He spent much of the night on defense.
My question to you is,
you've done this to me and everybody.
NBC's Savannah Guthrie confronted President Trump with questions about his health.
When was your last negative test? Did you test the day of the debate?
I don't know. I don't even remember.
Even after his own bout with the coronavirus, Mr. Trump wavered on his position on masks, falsely claiming that 85% of people who wear them catch the virus.
I was okay with the masks. I was good with it, but I've heard many different stories on masks.
And when pressed, he refused to disavow the far-right conspiracy group QAnon.
I just don't know about QAnon.
You do know.
I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know.
A remote control click away, quite a contrast.
The words of a president matter.
Instead of combative exchanges, longer answers and more time for voter questions.
Besides, you ain't black. What do you have to say to young black voters who see voting for you as further participation in a system that continually fails to protect them?
Well, I say, first of all, as my buddy John Lewis said, it's a sacred opportunity and right to vote. You can make a difference.
Early ratings indicated the Biden town hall, moderated by ABC News' George Stephanopoulos in Philadelphia, brought in more viewers than did the president's. Biden eagerly dove into policy, substance, and his opponent's track record.
You have Iran closer to having enough nuclear material to build a bomb. North Korea has more bombs and missiles available to it. We find ourselves where our NATO allies are publicly saying they can't count on us.
With no interruptions compared to the last time the two candidates shared a stage, Biden addressed voters' concerns directly.
Okay. Well, there's a lot more if you're going to hang around afterwards, I'll tell you more.
The issues making the biggest headlines this week marked moments in both events.
I would not have appointed her.
Biden declined to answer whether he's open to expanding the Supreme Court, following Republicans' push to confirm Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the bench.
It depends on how much they rush this.
But he promised voters a definitive stance by the election. Meanwhile, Mr. Trump also dodged other matters potentially hinging on that confirmation. He said he never told Barrett how to vote if the landmark abortion rights case, Roe versus Wade, ever got challenged in the court. He refused to commit to whether he'd like to see Roe v. Wade overturned.
I don't want to do anything to influence anything right now.
A stark contrast from his stance in 2016.
If we put another two or perhaps three justices on, that's really what's going to be, that will happen. And that'll happen automatically, in my opinion, because I am putting pro-life justices on the court.
The two candidates are next set to appear together Thursday for their final debate. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Lisa Desjardins.